Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is up to in the church. Last week we looked at, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit of God. And remember, it's the fruit, not plural, fruits. It's fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit of God. And so we've been getting into each one of those and what they look like. Something that's important to understand is that I heard a statistic recently that 96% of the evangelical church is biblically illiterate. They're going to church all over the world, but they don't really have a real understanding of what it takes and what God has called them. Am I making sense? Understanding is huge. It says in Proverbs, understanding will deliver you and keep you from the evil way. Proverbs 2, 10, and 11, understanding. Proverbs 4, 7, in all you're getting, get understanding. It's so important that we get understanding of what God is saying to us, right? My people are destroyed for their what? Lack of knowledge. So we got to grow in our understanding. And I think this study on the Holy Spirit and what He's up to, I'm telling you, if we really catch this, divorce will dissipate. Families are going to be restored. Marriages are going to be healthy relationships. This is huge, folks. If you really tap into what the Holy Spirit is up to. Too many people are ignoring the Holy Spirit. And see, and by that, when we ignore what the Holy Spirit's doing, then we miss out on what God is trying to get us to, right? I love this. And, you know, we've been getting into the Greek words. And you know how I am. I like the Greek words and the Hebrew. And it's so important to understand that. So we talked about last week, kindness. Kindness and gentleness. Remember, kindness is not, I'm going to be kind to you because you've been kind to me. Since you've done something kind to me, I'm going to return kindness. No, that's not God's kindness. God's kindness is only when you give kindness when someone doesn't deserve it. It's not His kindness when you just do something kind for somebody because they did something for you. It's only His kindness when you give it to someone who doesn't deserve it. See, that puts a whole nother spin on it. And so you got to be in touch with the Holy Spirit or you're going to retaliate. Are you going to, you know what I'm saying? And this idea of being fair, remember, if someone is always saying, well, that's not fair. God is not in that. Well, that's just not fair. You know, you got to be fair about this. God's not in that. Because fair says, I'm going to give you back what you gave me. That's what fair says. Well, you're not treating me fair. Folks, get that out of your vocabulary. We are to give back better than what has been given to us. And we always take the high road. When you take the high road, now you're in the high level of love. The supernatural love. The love that's above the natural, right? That's the agape love. And that's what God is developing in us, as we be kind to those who are not being kind to us. That's why it says in Luke 6 that He's kind to the evil and the unthankful. You can't do that apart from Him. You can't do that if you're not in touch with the Holy Spirit, because you're going to want to retaliate, right? So if somebody's always demanding that you be fair, you just say in your heart, well, I know where they're at. That's just where they're at. I'm going to keep giving back better than what's been given to me. See, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit of kindness, right? And then gentleness. What's gentleness? Gentleness and kindness are very similar. Gentleness is almost the same word as Christos. C-H-R-E-S-T-O-T-E-S. And gentleness is, remember, the ability in you to be undisturbed regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings. So in other words, in the Holy Spirit, you have the ability in you to be undisturbed regardless of what's going on out here, what these people are saying, what the atmosphere is here. I've got the ability in me to remain undisturbed. And that's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. He said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And let your gentleness be made known to all men that the Lord is at hand. Remember, he said that with guards breathing down his neck and chains around his feet and his arms. He said, rejoice and let your gentleness be made known to everybody that the Lord is at hand. So what's that look like? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And let the ability in you to be undisturbed, regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings, be made known to everybody that the Lord is at hand in here. God is in control in here. Does this make sense? Folks, and you can go to work, and no matter what's going on out here, you can be in school, you can be in your family, you can be in the church. If you operate in the Holy Spirit, you don't have to blow a gasket. You don't have to get discouraged. Folks, when you tap into the Holy Spirit, now you got something. Gentleness. That's why Paul said he admonished the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 10. He said, operate in gentleness and meekness. Then he goes on to say about spiritual warfare. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, there's all kinds of warfare going on all around you that you can't see. And things are happening all around. But when you are in touch with the Holy Spirit, see, now gentleness says, I'm undisturbed. This is not getting to me because I'm in touch with the Holy Spirit. I'm listening to what he's saying to me and I'm obeying Christ. All right. Gentleness, kindness. Today, we're going to look at goodness and faithfulness. And if you would turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. Okay, we are looking at goodness. This word goodness is the Greek word agathousun, agathousun. A-G-A-T-H-U-S-U-N-E. It comes from the word agathos, which means good. But when agathos becomes agathosune, it means goodness in the sense of being good to someone. Of being good to someone. It's just not being a do-gooder. It's being good to someone, to people. This word was used to portray a person who is generous, big-hearted, and charitable with his finances. We would call this person a giver. This person, when they operate in goodness, they become, they're givers, they're give. They're not always holding on and squeezing every penny. They're givers. We got to be givers in the body of Christ. How are things going to happen if we're not givers? If we understand this and we operate in goodness, we should look for ways to give. Well, that's different, yeah. But you know what? God empowers you and blesses you when you're a giver. But if you're always holding on and hoarding, that's not the kingdom. Acts 10:38, go with me there if you would. Look what it says. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Folks, listen to me. When you are operating in goodness, you are getting the devil off of people's back. Are you listening to me? When you are operating in the spirit of goodness, in the Holy Spirit, you're helping to remove the enemy off of people's back. And I'm telling you, he is on people's back today, trying to keep them from getting to the goodness of God. Because once you tap into the goodness of God, you put a stick in his spokes because you want to keep this goodness flowing. Am I making sense? All right. Now, it says he went about doing good, Jesus. So Jesus didn't go just about healing. He went about doing good to people, to meet people's natural needs. The word doing good is a phrase in the Greek culture, and it's this word E-U-E-R-G-E-T-E-O, which is an old word that denotes a benefactor, a philanthropist, or one who financially supports charitable works. Folks, when we are in the goodness of God, we are givers. That's why you shouldn't be whining about tithing. Tithing is a principle. When you operate in that principle, that's tithing is not to keep the lights on. Tithing is to for your benefit as well. When you tithe, you are going to benefit personally because it's a principle. It's a spiritual principle to advance the kingdom of God. When we financially move in obedience to God through tithing. Folks, listen to me. This is huge. This word was used to describe a person who possessed great financial substance and who used it to assist those who were less fortunate. The implication of this word, E-U-G-E-R-T-E-O, is that's that word for doing good, is that Jesus possessed a great amount of financial resources in his ministry. Jesus did. In addition to the offerings that were received for his ministry, Luke 8:3 tells us that a group of very wealthy women financially supported his ministry. So people who have wealth should support the ministry. Jesus needed somebody to support the ministry. We're going to need people, right? People who are givers. People who are not hoarding, right? And so when we do that, we benefit other people, the less fortunate. I'm going to tell you, it feels good to give. That makes you feel good when you're a giver. I've seen people give away cars in this church. I've seen people give. And I tell you what, I see they get blessed by it. When we're operating in the goodness of God, we're going to be giving. It feels good to give. The Bible teaches that one of the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. This is very significant, for it tells us that Jesus didn't only perform supernatural works, he also used his resources to do good works in the natural realm. Jesus cared for the poor, he helped feed the needy, and he utilized his vast resources of money made available to his ministry to meet the basic needs of human beings. You see that? Jesus did that. And folks, we're to look out for the orphans, the widows, those who are imprisoned. When they get out, we should be helping them. Well, they ought to help. They can't. Look what they did. They deserve. No. We're to operate in kindness, right? We're to help reach out to those people. I preached in prisons for 15 years. That's how I got started, preaching in prisons. Then I started going to churches. Then I started flying to go preach in churches. And man, I've seen some stuff up in these churches. I'll tell you what, in prison, I feel the presence of God in prison sometimes a whole lot more than I feel in the churches. Huh? All them in there? Yes, sir. Because they're hungry. They know they need a Savior. You see, if you know, then you're going to be hungry. We should be hungry for God. And when we're hungry, it's going to change us, right? We don't want to be out of balance. People get out of balance and they have food. We've got hunger for food, but then there's a spiritual hunger. And here's what happens. We kept trying to fill a spiritual hunger with food, and we get way out of balance. But that's what we do. We try to fill spiritual things with food and with all kinds of different, everything else. Am I making sense? A spiritual hunger. Now look at this. God is letting us know that he wants us to be selfless, using our resources to help change people's living conditions for the better. This is contrary to the flesh, which would consume every dollar for itself. Your flesh doesn't want to give it up. You know, we want to have all this material stuff to make us look good, right? And then when it comes time to help somebody, there's no goodness. That's empty. That is empty. I'll tell you what, that is just empty. God wants you to have things. He wants you to have things. He just doesn't want them things to have you. And that's what happens. The love of money is what? The root of all evil. Of how much evil? Oh, it's the love. It's not money, it's the love of it. And folks, the Bible talks about men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters. You see that? That's all what that's talking about in the last days in 2 Timothy 3. Now, when the Holy Spirit is working mightily in us, He shifts our focus from ourselves to the needs of those who are around us. Goodness. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For we were once darkness." We were once darkness. Darkness represents ignorance. We were once totally ignorant of what God is doing on earth. Totally ignorant. Darkness is where the enemy rules. "For we were once darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light," He says. "Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." See, when you're walking in goodness, you're looking for ways to assist others. Because you know this goodness, I'm tapping into God. You see, if you're not in touch with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be concerned with being good. You're too focused on yourself. That's how it is. When it's all about us, that's empty. God wants us to be givers. In Romans 2:4 says, "Knowing this, that the goodness of God leads men to repentance." When you discover how good God is, it causes you to want to repent. God is taking care of you. When I look at my life, I look back into my life as a child, and my grandma biting my ear and telling me she's going to put me on a biscuit and loving me all the way up till now, I know the goodness of God has been with me all my life. I've been through hell and high water, but God's goodness has always been there. Am I making sense? And when I am in touch with it, then I want to share it with people. Does that make sense? His goodness has always been there. Always. And folks, when you realize that, man, it makes you want to get on your face how good God is. In spite of all our whining and complaining and murmuring, we need to stop our complaining and start sharing some goodness, right? Complaining and murmuring and fault finding, that's the devil's language. The goodness of God is God's Spirit moving. You know, give a little extra tip when you go out. "Well, I don't make that much." Well, you know what? Start giving a little bit and maybe you make some more. God loves a faithful giver. You see that? God's going to test you to see how you're going to be when you do get a little bit. Psalms 23 says, "The goodness and mercy is following you all the days of your life." It says, "All things work together for the what? Good. To those who what? Love God and are the called according to His purpose," right? Those who agape God, they love God, right? Supernaturally, when you're loving God and you're called according to His purpose, everything, even things that appear negative, it's working for your good. All right, you ready to go to the next one? Faithfulness. This is the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, which is the common New Testament word for faith and faithful. But in this verse in Galatians, it conveys the idea of a person who is faithful, reliable, loyal, steadfast, and it depicts a person who is trustworthy, dependable, and dedicated, constant and unwavering. That's what this word faithfulness means. Constant and unwavering. Man, if we had more of that, this community, this city would be changed, wouldn't it? This church, we couldn't even build it fast enough, big enough, if there was faithfulness and goodness operating in our hearts. Goodness and faithfulness working together. You know, He puts those together for a reason. Because when you have goodness, man, then some faithfulness behind it, look out. That's why David said in Psalms 27, he said, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in the smooth path because of my enemies all around me. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such breathe out violence. For I would have lost heart unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Folks, listen, when you are faithful and operating in goodness, you begin to see the goodness of God in the land, in the midst of all the negativity that's all around you. And when you see it, boy, it does something to you. It's just like, yes. You don't look at all the negative and talk about it and listen to it, because you're listening to the Holy Spirit and you see things in a different way. Faithfulness. That's what it's going to take for us to fulfill the vision and God's mission on this earth. And I'm going to tell you, the only reason you have breath is to do that. That's the only reason you have breath. If you're not about God's purpose, you're about your own purpose. And that's empty. I've done a lot of funerals. And there's some funerals I'll go to, and I've had funerals where 3 and 4 people show up, and they didn't want to be there. And then I've done funerals where, man, you got to wait hours. And these people were doing something in the Lord. Am I making sense? I want to leave something. How about you? I want to leave some goodness. I want my granddaughter and grandson to think about goodness when they think about Papa. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what I want. Because I remember grandma biting my ear and telling me she's going to put me on a biscuit. I do that to my kids, my grandkids. I know I told you that. And then the other day, Zeta said, my son says, yeah, daddy. He calls me daddy. Yeah, we've got a little bit of southern in us. That's all right. But he says, yeah, daddy, Zeta told Finley she was going to put him on a biscuit. and he goes, the first thing I thought was about your grandma. Not me, my grandma, because he always told him. My grandma said, because I used to say that to him too. You see? See how that carries on? I want to spread that. How about you? Man, that's huge. All right, look at this. Where are we at? 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Faithful. We could read it like this, that a man be found devoted, trustworthy, dependable, dedicated, constant, and unwavering. I want to be found that way. How about you? I want to be faithful to the call of God on my life. Is it easy? Mm-mm. Everything around you is trying to keep you from that. Everything around you. Paul said, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that the message might be preached fully through me, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. You see, no matter what, when you are in touch with God, no matter what everybody was that was with Paul and telling Paul, hey, we got your back, man, they were now turning on him. He was by himself. He says, the Lord preserved him for his heavenly kingdom. Folks, that's the way it is when you're faithful, because Paul was faithful. And you see, when you're faithful, you know that you know that you know. You don't have to have somebody tell you. You know. Am I making sense? And you know God is with you. Is this making sense? Now look at this. Faithfulness is so esteemed by God that he lists it in 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This fruit of the Spirit is part of the eternal nature of God. Paul writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that God is faithful. In Numbers 23:19, he says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. In Hebrews 13:8, Jesus said, the Bible says that Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And forever. If this unchanging, constant, stable, unwavering behavior is the nature of God himself, we can see and understand why the Holy Spirit is developing faithfulness in our lives as one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We must ask ourselves, are you selfish and self-seeking, consuming every spare dollar for yourself and never showing concern for the needs of others? Ask your neighbor, are you selfish? Then ask your other neighbor, are you self-seeking? Are you someone that someone can count on? Are you someone that's dependable? Are you reliable? Proverbs 14:5 says, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Folks, we're witnesses. He says, you are my witnesses whom I have chosen. You know, in a criminal case, you have prosecuting attorney and the defense attorney. And they gather all the witnesses they can for this case, in court. They gather all they can. And then they have a jury that studies each witness and listening to each witness, okay? Scrutinizing them, right? And the witnesses that aren't faithful, they don't even listen to what they have to say. In other words, what the unfaithful witnesses say has no weight in the decision of the outcome of the trial. Right? But the one who is faithful, that's the ones they're going to listen to. Did you get that? And when you're a faithful witness, your words have weight because you're being scrutinized. The courtroom of heaven is in session. Does that make sense? He wants you to be a faithful witness. In Matthew 25, 21, it says that they long for Jesus to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You are here to serve, not come here and get all your needs met. People have this idea that church is to meet all their needs.
Move me. Inspire me. I'm taking notes.
What? We're here to serve people and each other. And when we begin to see that and understand that, life starts. You see, when you begin to serve other people and operate in goodness and faithfulness, it imparts life. If you're miserable, it's probably because you're focused on yourself all the time. That's what selfishness breeds, misery. All right. Proverbs 26 says, "Most men will proclaim his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man?" Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." I love it when a friend of mine will tell me the truth. They see something that, you know, I might be off on, and they'll tell me about it. Right? Now, don't you all come up to me after the service. I all want to be my friend. But am I making sense? All right. 2 Timothy 2:2 said, Paul was admonishing Timothy that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see, when you're faithful in the things of God and committed and reliable, it puts you in a position to teach others. Does this make sense? But if you're not a faithful witness, then you know what? They're not going to listen. And it's not going to have any weight. One last verse. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture today, but you can write it down and study it this week, right? It says in Thessalonians 1:11, "Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power." You see, his goodness and the work of faith with power. His good pleasure, when you're operating in this goodness and exercising faith, it pleases God. It pleases God, and you become effective. You become effective.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
Listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.